Word on the street is that one of the best defensive ends in the class of 2023 is making another visit to Ohio State this weekend. It's Keon Keeley. He visited during the Notre Dame game. He's set to be in Ohio State tomorrow. What does it mean? Why a second trip so quickly? We'll discuss that and a whole lot more today on Locked On Buckeyes.
You are Locked On Buckeyes, your daily podcast on the Ohio State Buckeyes. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team every day.
What is up, Buckeye fans? Welcome back to another episode of Locked On Buckeyes for the Locked On Podcast Network. I'm your host, Jay Stevens, also the host of the Jay Stevens Podcast. It is a Friday, September 23rd in the year 2022, and I want to thank you for making Locked On Buckeyes your first listen or first watch of every single day. On today's episode, John Garcia Jr. is back. That's correct. John Garcia Jr. is the director of football recruiting at Sports Illustrated and Locked On's football recruiting insider. John gives us an update on his life, a big life update with John. And also we discuss what happened during the major recruiting weekend Ohio State had when the Buckeyes played Notre Dame week one of the college football season. We also get an update on the recruiting of Keon Keeley, Damon Wilson, and Mateo Uiagalelei. You don't want to miss this fun recruiting update with John. Those of you that have been around a while know John brings a juice. John has the news and the info you want about these recruits, and we get some of that today with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. And as we welcome in John Garcia Jr., I'd like to thank LinkedIn Jobs for being the official college football recruiting sponsor across the Locked On College Network. LinkedIn Jobs helps you find the candidates you want to talk to faster. Post your job for free at LinkedIn.com/LockedOnCollege. Terms and conditions apply. Many of you that have been around Locked On Buckeyes for a while, especially in the offseason, we've gotten acquainted with John Garcia Jr. of Sports Illustrated. He is the director of football recruiting. But John's been away for quite a bit, and it's been for a good reason. John just welcomed his first child into the world. Before we get to football or anything else, John, congratulations publicly on the show, because this is a big thing. First kid, welcoming him into the world. That's huge, man.
Yeah, I appreciate it, Jay. Yeah, it's been a heck of a few weeks, but everybody's good. Mom's good. Baby's good. So I'm blessed. I'm very lucky, and I'm excited, obviously. A whole new challenge and a different way to approach each day, for sure. I appreciate the shout.
No problem. My brother actually welcomed his first child into the world, and one of the first things that he said was discussing the sleep schedule and the adjustment, the huge adjustment that it is there. He said that there were times that his wife had to wake him up for his own duties, that maybe he was oversleeping. Just, it's new. Things are new. So I'm sure it's a challenge for you in these first couple of weeks, getting used to not just you and I think it's your fiance, but also taking care of a little one as well.
Yeah, it's like two-a-days, man. It's taking me back to high school and college and you know, waking up at random times to do important things as opposed to just going right back to sleep. But obviously, it's a blessing and something that we're excited about. And yeah, every day we learn a ton, that's for sure.
We do learn a ton. And the plan today is to learn a ton about the Ohio State recruits, three of them specifically. They're all defensive ends. We talked about them before. I think one of the last few times John was with us, we talked about Keon Keeley, Damon Wilson, and then Mateo Uiagalelei. And all three of these guys are talented, three of the best defensive ends in this class of 2023. And they all three were part of the star-studded list that Ohio State had as far as recruiting-wise when Ohio State hosted Notre Dame week one of the college football season. All three of these guys, you had quarterbacks there, receivers there, players that played every position, they were there just taking it in. You even had Bronny James there and LeBron James just taking it in as well. What did you hear, John, before we get to like present day, what did you hear back then post Ohio State Notre Dame about these three players, about how they enjoyed that game?
Well, it was unprecedented, right? It was, I think even still now, almost a month later, that was the most star-studded visitor list any school has had to date in the 2022 season. And it wasn't just in the class of 23. As you mentioned, a lot of 24 recruits were there. Basketball recruits were there. LeBron was there. It was so notable, even on television. You can only imagine being a recruit, navigating all of that with sideline access pregame, sitting with fellow recruits, stuff like that. It was something that really to my knowledge, no other school has been able to duplicate from a star power atmosphere combination early in this season. Obviously, the game was incredibly hyped and big as well, right? So that certainly helped to build some of that that atmospheric pressure, I guess, that all these recruits came together to create. Obviously, the Buckeyes won the game and everything kind of went according to schedule there as well. And obviously, it was something that was really impressive. And for these coaches to actually carve out time with so many recruits, dozens and dozens of priority recruits on campus, to be able to carve out time for some of the biggest visitors, right? Obviously, Uyangalele, Keely, Wilson. Keely and Wilson were both on official visits, so they got to follow it up with Saturday night and Sunday activities with the coaching staff. And I think that helped Ohio State move up the list, theoretically, for both of those prospects. So it was really a critical weekend. I think, you know, this signing day, next signing day, you look back at that visitor list, and I think there's going to be a whole lot of Buckeyes on it and beyond the ones that were just verbally committed to the program. So it was kind of the perfect storm to open the season at home, just about as good an atmosphere as it could have been for all the recruits. And then again, some of the critical ones were able to stay in town on those official visits to really solidify and reemphasize the Buckeye angle, which again has been one that is easy to sell. And pass rusher in particular with these three guys, it's such a priority. And these are the three best remaining pass rushers in America in terms of those who are still uncommitted. So you combine that with Larry Johnson, and you know you're going to feel good about these guys moving forward as they get a little bit closer to decision time.
John, you mentioned 2024 recruits that were there as well, but maybe some 25 as well,
yep.
Maybe on some unofficials. But I remember seeing a tweet recently that Peyton Woodyard, a guy we talked about in the offseason months ago, was actually at this game as well. And just that's a kid that I know has Ohio State on his board. Ohio State is going after him. And so you mentioned all these three defensive ends. You mentioned Brock Glenn previously when we were on here when you talked about that particular day. But then 2024 kid Peyton Woodyard, he's someone else that Ohio State is going after. So it's not just these three guys are first class. Ohio State was trying to capitalize as much as they could in recruiting in that one day. And it sounds like from what you're saying, it was successful.
Absolutely. You know, I think a casual recruiting fan will say, okay, well, who's visiting and then who committed? But it's never that simple, right? A lot of these kids, the higher level recruit you go after, the more schools are involved. And often the longer the recruiting process is going to be drawn out. So you can't really look at it as a one-to-one deal that way. That's why I think you go back on signing day. And then when the dust settles, you look back at this group of visitors and say, okay, well, out of these 10 priority guys who were uncommitted, four signed with Ohio State. So then you go back and you say that was a huge win for the Buckeyes and everything lined up for a big, you know, opening season recruiting list. So I do think that everything was very positive coming out of the trip. Look, those guys were all defensive players, and I know Ohio State's offense gets all the pub here, but the Ohio State defense has been great. And week one was the first sample of, hey, this isn't 2021 anymore, right? This is a different look, a different feel, a different vibe. So again, that message was really able to resonate with these guys throughout the game itself, before the game, certainly following it up Saturday night into Sunday. It was able to be a consistent message in both pitch and production on the field. So I think it went about as well as it could have possibly gone for the Buckeyes relative to the big names they had in town.
I want to tell you about the easiest and most fun way to spice up your season. It's Underdog Fantasy and their Pick'em game for college football. Just look for your favorite Buckeyes stats, pick whether you think they'll end up with higher or lower than that number in this week's game, and you can win up to 20 times your money in a single night. Underdog keeps it super simple with their easy-to-use website and mobile apps. Pick between 2 and 5 players for your Pick'em slip. Get all your picks right, and you'll take home some cold, hard cash. It's super simple to get started. Just head to UnderdogFantasy.com or download the app, sign up with promo code LOCKEDON, that's LOCKEDON, and Underdog will double your first deposit, up to $100. Deposit $100, get $100 free. That's Underdog Fantasy. Use the promo code LOCKEDON. We are here with John Garcia Jr. He is the director of football recruiting at Sports Illustrated. This is Locked On Buckeyes. That weekend was huge. And we could talk all day about what happened, the aftermath, all the classes, all the players. But John, I'm reminded about something. I do believe the NCAA changed their amount of scholarships a school can have. I know it's normally 25. Has that number been eliminated like right now and I think next year for COVID purposes?
Yeah, COVID certainly threw a wrench into that, and the portal has as well, right? So now you're able to count players the year prior if they're an early enrollee, et cetera. So there's a way to manipulate those scholarship numbers. But yeah, I think we're going to see, if schools want, we're going to see schools bring in more recruits per cycle because they are having so many departures through the transfer portal. So you have a little bit more room on the high school and junior college front, and then you also have some additional slots available, if you will, to add from the transfer portal. So a lot of those number crunching scenarios that we saw in, you know, 2019, 2020, et cetera, those won't be as, I guess, exhaustive for these coaching staffs in the class of 2023. I've seen projections with some of these top programs, Ohio State, Bama, Georgia, getting close to 30 in terms of the guys that they're going to sign in the class of 2023. So I do think it alleviates some of that business-like, NFL-like stress that a lot of these coaches had to get through and go through and plan for. So I think there's a little bit more freedom to go after all your top targets as opposed to prioritizing the best within the best, if you will.
And I bring that up because I remember last offseason, I think earlier this year, may have been April, spring practice time, Ryan Day was getting questions about the scholarship numbers at Ohio State, and they were above 85. And Ryan Day said, it'll all work itself out. And it literally worked itself out. Players entering the portal, Legend Cavazos being one of them. I don't know why his name always pops into my head as a transfer, because he wanted to go somewhere and play, and that's what he wanted. But it did end up working itself out. But I bring up the 25 number, the number of scholarships, is because for so long it was, that's the number. You have to be at this number, no more. You cannot go over it. It just can't happen. But now you see the Ohio State offensive recruiting for this class. Seems like it's pretty intact. Those numbers are pretty set. There are some holes on defense. There are a few defensive linemen already there, but none of them are at the tier of the caliber of these three guys here. So if Ohio State wants to make things better, of course, they could add these two guys and still go out and get more and go above that normal 25 number of scholarships. And so that's huge, because in a normal year, I'd be like, man, they can't get two of these three guys. There's no way. They're so close to that cap on the scholarship numbers they're allowed to have for that recruiting class. But it's possible. It's likely. And I think it really aids Ryan Day, Larry Johnson, Jim Knowles, those that are helping in recruiting these young athletes, saying, hey, we ain't got to worry about a scholarship cap number. Come to Ohio State. We have all the talent. We have the best coaches, and we're going to surround you with more talent than you think you'll ever be surrounded by. Come to Columbus. We'll have some big things for you. And yeah, and if you want to help us recruit some of your buddies, go ahead and do that too, because we have room for them at Ohio State.
Yeah, that's a great point. You can't really envision Ohio State saying no to these three. There's right. Really no way that scenario would exist in the next few months. So yeah, I think that coincides with the point that you're making, Jay, and it's something that is going to help everyone in general in college football. But like most of the rules, they're really going to help and enhance the big boys, the blue bloods, the power schools from a recruiting standpoint, the Ohio States, Bama, Georgia, Clemson will throw in there as well. Texas A&M, I guess, after last year. Those schools are going to benefit and utilize that maybe more efficiently than some of the others on the list.
John, when it comes to Keon Keeley, it was really interesting. He decommitted from Notre Dame. He ended up visiting Ohio State. And when they played Notre Dame, I mean, there was so many storylines there. But what have you heard about him post that official visit to Ohio State in regards to where Ohio State sits on his board?
Well, that was an official visit, as we mentioned. So he got, you know, the family experience in Columbus, and then he got the follow-up experience, which is sometimes more important than the games. I know it's so easy to kind of bring somebody into recruiting and say, hey, look, these kids are on campus and they're in the horseshoe. They're on the sidelines watching this. How could they not be totally impressed? But when you're Keon Keeley, you've done that at every school, right? Notre Dame, Alabama, Georgia, Ohio State, you know, the list goes on and on. So there is a little bit of easy comparison between some of those atmospheres potentially, right? Not saying he's been to better games or atmospheres than week one, but it could at least be close if you form that argument. But the follow-up on those official visits with your family in town. You're getting the academic presentation, which is very important to the Keeley family. He goes to a big time academic private school in high school right now, Berkeley Prep. So that's going to be something that's important for him going forward. So that presentation hits with mom, hits with the rest of the family. And then just kind of the atmosphere, the city, the area, right? Columbus itself, campus itself. Those are important items when you're talking about a recruit from a different part of the country as well. So it certainly resonated with Keeley. I think going into that visit, Jay, we talked about Bama probably being a slight leader, mm-hmm. and then Ohio State and Florida like juggling thereafter for maybe number two. But I think following that trip, there's a little bit more confidence that Ohio State is the top threat singularly to the Alabama Crimson Tide following that decommitment. And now it's kind of confirmed from a tangible perspective, because now Keeley is talking about being back up at Ohio State this weekend for the Wisconsin game. And this is totally different, right? The Ohio State official visit, Ohio State's dime, Ohio State's checkbook, right? The flights, the hotels, the meals, the whole deal. When you come back for this Wisconsin game, it's on you. It's on the Keeley family to book those flights or drive or whatever it's going to be. So now you talk about a legitimate interest so much that you are following up one trip, you know, 3.5 weeks later than the previous one you took to campus in an official capacity. So back-to-back visits essentially for the Buckeyes in this recruitment. Alabama will get a trip, we think, next month. And that's really kind of the beginning of the end for Keeley, unless another program like Georgia can get him on campus. It really will feel like a Bama-Ohio State kind of deal, with Florida as kind of the in-state dark horse in this recruitment. So I think things are trending very much in the right direction for Keeley. I think the other guys, Uyangalale, Wilson, bit more of a longer play, more contenders in the mix for those guys. So more of a TBD status, although you feel pretty good about Uyangalale comparatively. But now Keeley, I think in the last month, in the month of September, I think Ohio State has upped its chances for him the most compared to the other two. And this return visit is really a tangible example of that.
I remember we talked about it. I highlighted it the last time you were here, talking about Keeley, about how the official visit weekend itself being Labor Day weekend was huge for families. Now, not just the official visits, but the unofficial visits, how families have an extra day to get back home. Like, that's literally a big thing. Let's just say it was an unofficial visit, his own family's dime, coming from Tampa, Florida, going up to Columbus. You have to rush back home on Sunday and then get ready for work and for school on Monday. They didn't have to do that. But now you're saying it's the family's dime. The family's doing all this. He's still playing high school football. That speaks volumes about, to me, John, how they view Ohio State and how high they – even if I didn't talk to you, John, I just knew that he was going to Ohio State, planning to be there at Wisconsin. That speaks volumes about how the family views Ohio State, Ryan Day, Larry Johnson, Jim Knowles, all the coaches, and how they view Ohio State as far as, hey, if we're making a decision very, very soon, we're trying to put some things together to where we're trying to make a wise decision to make some good choices now to make the best decision. Honestly, it's kind of like putting your money where your mouth is. Like, hey, he's being recruited. We're going to put some money and invest our own time and effort and energy into our son so he can possibly go to Ohio State, because that official visit's one thing. But a few weeks later, making an unofficial visit, you're paying for it yourself. That's big time, John. That's huge to me.
Yeah, there's no doubt, Jay. And I think this is what kind of confirms the thought of Ohio State being right there with Alabama in this conversation, right? So it's more time with Day, more time with Knowles, more time with Larry Johnson. And maybe there's a couple questions that are still to be answered from the family perspective, right? Maybe something about the dorms or something about, you know, the nutritional facilities or whatever it is. So, you know, I think that is a great situation. And as far as I can tell right now, I was checking this morning, the family's going to go as well. I don't know if it's the whole group or the same group that went on the official visit, but Keeley's not just, you know, boarding a flight by himself from Tampa International. More of the Keeleys are going to head up. So I think that is huge information in this weekend visitor, you know, feel for Ohio State. Again, you kind of you've lined up all the chips for Uyangalale. Wilson, again, he's the least traveled of the three, maybe taking the longest in this recruitment. So it's you certainly helped yourself with that official visit, but there's a lot of unknown with Wilson. But with Keeley, this tangible information, you know, back-to-back trips in 3 weeks And again, the second one on your own dime, I think says so much about the Ohio State angle, about his priority status within the Ohio State recruiting department, and obviously he and or his family's interest in the Buckeyes in needing to follow it up. Because when you think about it, it can't be about the game and about football, right? It's got to be about something beyond that, something personnel-wise. And you think of all the DNs that they're recruiting. You think of Knowles being new to the coaching staff this year. Perhaps there's just some desire to spend a little bit more time with some of these guys. So I think all of that lines up really well for the Buckeyes, and it becomes another one of these super high profile battles, right? You know, Bama versus Ohio State, Ohio State versus Bama on the trail. We see it every single year with great prospects. Both teams have done it already this year with victories on their side of the coin. So this could be one of the final battles, if you will, between these two programs. So sign me up for those every time, right? They're dramatic, they're fun, and they really do kind of push perception, right? If Ohio State wins this race, you feel better about their chances at a top class overall. The defensive class feels a lot better, and you're addressing the biggest need to me remaining on the commitment list, which is that pass rusher position. But luckily for OSU, there's a lot of elite guys available at that spot. So even if you get one or even two of these three, you feel really good about the end of the cycle.
John, a couple more things here for you. I remember back in 2020, I do believe, maybe it was 2021, forget the exact year, JT Tuimoloa ended up canceling, I believe, a visit to Alabama.
Yep.
And this is after he took his visit to Ohio State. You have been on the record numerous times saying getting that last visit is key. And it's important if you get that last visit, revisionist history. You remember the last thing you saw, all those things. But this could be a very similar situation. Keeley already took an official. He wanted to take an unofficial to Ohio State. So two trips very close together within the first 4 weeks of this college football season. An Alabama trip you're saying might come next month. Is there a possibility that thought might be canceled and where he says no trip to Alabama after visiting Ohio State twice?
I mean, it's certainly possible, right? You know, it's not something I would probably bet on at this point. But look, he's been to Tuscaloosa a couple times. I think most recently he was in town there right before the Notre Dame decommitment. A lot of people point to that visit as kind of the catalyst for him opening the process back up, in addition to Notre Dame's kind of archaic no-visit policy that they're trying to build up in South Bend. So I think there's clear interest in Alabama. And he's been there. So, you know, again, is it a scenario where, hey, I got all my questions answered on that trip. I know what I'm getting in Tuscaloosa, and now I'm going to figure out what I'm getting in Columbus, and we'll just go into decision mode after that? Certainly possible. But I do think since that was an unofficial visit to Tuscaloosa, I do think the possibility of an official there, even if Ohio State surges to the lead in the next 24 hours, just with a high academic type of kid like this, you understand that he's probably going to be thorough, especially having been committed to Notre Dame for so long. I would imagine he takes that trip because it's an official visit, especially. And this becomes kind of this Ryan Day, Nick Saban showdown that recruiting is great to present us with one more time. So I do think he takes the trip, but you never know. Maybe there's only one or two questions left to answer in Columbus, and the crew gets it done this weekend, and maybe the Keeleys are done with the process. But again, given how elite he is and given how thorough he appears to be just as a kid, I would imagine he does take that Bama trip.
And then, John, Mateo Uiagalelei, a guy who you said is similar profile as JT Tuimoloa, a guy who Ohio State fans are getting acquainted with and probably love his play so far this year. Yeah, you might want a few more sacks and a few more TFLs, but he's played phenomenal football this year so far. But Mateo's one of those players that I don't think will stay out west, will not stay in California. I recently actually saw a report saying that he's planning on – there's a good chance he does not stay home being over there in California. Are you hearing the same thing where there's a good possibility of him not staying in Cali when he decides and it's time for him to play college football?
Yeah, you know, I think Ohio State has always intrigued him. I think – the pipeline that Ohio State has built, not only at the pass rusher position, but with, you know, Polynesian players, has really resonated with he and his family. That's basically confirmed at this point. And look, they are you know, his older brother went across the country for college football. So it's not unprecedented within the family to you know, pack up and head east or towards a different time zone. So I do think certainly if he leaves the Pac-12 footprint, because Oregon's in there as well as USC, if he leaves the Pac-12 footprint, I've felt like this for 6 months, Ohio State is in the best shape to pull him away from that Pac-12 footprint. If he stays within it, USC, which is the hometown school, and Oregon certainly appear like they're in the best position. You know, Clemson is still in the conversation. Alabama still in the conversation. We just don't hear as much traction with those two programs. So if he's headed east, I think he's probably a Buckeye. If he stays home, it'll be kind of a top of the Pac-12 battle between the Trojans and the Ducks, with the Trojans being a hyper-local school. You know, he's a SoCal kid. But again, well-traveled. Family's already done it with success. Dad did it with success in a different industry. It is something that is a bit of a trend in the Uiagalelei household. So you certainly wouldn't be surprised. And again, that's part of the reason why I think between the three pass rushers we're talking about, it's still Uiagalelei as the most likely of the three. Doesn't mean you're not getting the other guys, but I think as we sit, you know, early in this season, he does still seem like the most likely addition to this this Buckeye class.
One more question just popped into my head. You said that he's probably the most likely. That's Mateo. Do you think we'll get an announcement or a decision from him coming up, let's say, by the end of the regular season? So, like, at the end of November, do you think he could announce where he'll play college football between now and then?
Yeah, I think that could be kind of the sweet spot for all three of these guys, right? Early signing day, I actually looked it up this morning. It's December 14th this year.
Okay.
So,
okay.
Between Thanksgiving and that day, that two-week stretch is going to be – commitment heaven, right? We're going to get a lot of big time recruits coming off the board. So unless there's plans to do it, you know, on a television network or at one of these All-American games, that's the window where we expect really all of these guys to at least go public with final plans for a verbal commitment, and then of course sign on December 14th. So yeah, I think, you know, after, you know, Ohio State maybe gets revenge on Michigan around that time of year, that's when I think, you know, the final tallies of this 23 class will be put together. And it could still, you know, we could still be talking about these three as the top three uncommitted targets for not only the Buckeyes, but for a lot of schools across the country. But we'll have a little bit more clarity at that point. But with Uiagalelei, he's going to continue to take visits. He's going to continue to gather these college experiences, because it's what he's done for 4 years, right? So I think that's a totally different recruitment than Keeley or Wilson, where it's like every visit you're like, whoa, this school's in it, this school's trending up. You know, it's not quite the same for Uiagalelei, but it doesn't detract from Ohio State's likelihood of grabbing him on the commitment list one day.
John, it's good to have you back. Good to be back with you. Congrats on the birth of your first child. If you could, let us know what listeners know, where they can follow you on Twitter. And if they want to catch up with you on the recruiting trail and things you're doing, where can they find some of that stuff as well?
Yeah, our coverage is still at si.com/college. And you can holler at me on Twitter, JohnGarcia_JR.
And guys, you can follow me on Twitter at JSteven07. Glad to have John back. The Buckeyes will be in the horseshoe facing Wisconsin. Keon Keeley will be there. An unofficial visit, as John mentioned, on his family's dime, which is huge. Putting your money in your child investing is huge. So I look forward to getting a report from John after this weekend. And I look forward to watching Ohio State really take care of the Badgers on Saturday night.